Ja.
Okay. There's an amazing video which you can watch on YouTube or on TEDTalks.com. So, as if you're listening last week, we don't do YouTube anymore over here. This would be tragic. Ads. But there's an amazing video of it's a video which I saw a couple years ago, and it's basically maybe you guys have seen it. It's a long hill, and there's a lot of people sitting down on the hill, and all of a sudden there's one guy that gets up and starts doing this wacky dance. And if you've seen the video, so he starts doing this dance where he's doing like this. And he's going like this, and everybody's like watching him, and he's like just in a bathing suit, like, no shirt, whatever. He's dancing like this in the hill, and everybody's like staring at him. And he's like doing this wacky, wacky dance. And then someone else joins him. And the guy shows him, like, grabs him by the shoulders, and okay, take your arms, start doing like this, and he starts showing him how to do the dance. Now the guy's doing the dance also. And you have two guys doing it. And then another person sees. And you have a third guy. Everyone's doing the dance. And then he calls over two friends. And everybody's doing the dance. And then all of a sudden, everybody that was just sitting watching, all of a sudden was like, I gotta get involved. There we go, Gabi. Everyone's just doing this wacky dance. And it's an important video because, let me ask you, Shiloh, who's the most important person in the video? Who's the most important person in this dance? First guy? Got the dance going?
Second guy.
Trick question. Why are these little blue chairs over there? Nah, yeah. Second guy.
I was debating for that one.
You gave the right answer. Yeah, you gave the answer for you. It's really the second guy. Second guy is what made the first guy into a movement. First guy had a wacky dance. He was doing this thing that no one else had seen before. Second guy copied him, and now you got a movement. You changed the world. If not for Reb Nosson, none of my teachings would remain. So saith Rabbi Nachman. Reb Nosson was Reb Nachman's student. And if it was just any other student, we wouldn't spend a week focusing on him. But because of who he was so unique and so different than Reb Nachman himself, it's a different world, and that's why we're going into it. Born on Tu B'Shvat in 1780, Reb Nachman was born in 1772, which means how much older was Reb Nachman than Reb Nosson?
8 years.
Excellent. Reb Nachman was 8 years older. How old are you? Judah, how old are you?
19.
How old am I?
26.
I'm 26.
December
29th. I'm 26. Today was my birthday.
Really?
On Chav Vav Teves, 26th of Teves. And Tiki Vavke, Bechule, Bechule, thank you. Thank you. Stay home after. So I'm 26, and anybody here 18?
Yes.
You to me is Reb Nachman to Reb Nosson. That's how close in age they were. They're also 18. Beautiful. Obviously not. It's not like I'm like Reb Nachman to Reb Nosson. It's just like how close in age. So he's born in 1780, and Tu B'Shvat, which is coming up in I don't know when, and he was born in Nemrov. And how old was Reb Nachman when he got married?
Reb Nachman was 13.
13. So was Reb Nosson.
13.
Another guy gets married at 13. It's a woman named Esther Shingle. Reb Nosson's father's name I forgot his name actually. I'm just about. His father is father-in-law were both big Talmid Chachamim. His father-in-law, his name was Reb Zvi Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, but I don't know if it was the same family, whatever. And his father used Talmud Chacham. His father-in-law was very rich, and he was like the Rav of like a huge area in Ukraine, like many cities in Ukraine. He was the Rav of. So he married into a really prestigious family, got tons of money as the dowry. And the one common denominator between the two fathers, like father-in-law, was that they were huge in Snagdim. They were so anti-Hasidic that, you know, that was what Reb Nosson grew up on, right? And don't forget, everyone growing up in those times, this is still early. It's not like everyone nowadays, you live in Teaneck, you know everything, whatever. No, in those days, the war was on fire. And his father and his father-in-law, both of them, every word they planted in Rasen's head was learn Torah, don't get involved with the Hasidim. And okay, Rasen's fine with that. He's also a Misnagid. He's not into Hasidim. He thinks all they do is mess around, they dance, whatever. And he's growing up, and Rav Nosson was this unbelievable masmid. He's this crazy focus and learning. By the age of like 16, 17, he knows everything like Balpera. He's holding everything. But what happens is, Rav Nosson begins to feel empty. He's spending so many hours a day learning, but there's something that's gnawing at him inside. And he's looking at himself and he's saying, why am I here? You know, is my goal just to learn? Is my goal just to be, you know, another one, another this, another that? Like, you know, he was in a room once when someone died, and he's like, oh, Misa, I'm going to die. What is my life for? And he began to have this, like, crisis inside. And he had a chavrusa, whose name was Reb Lipa. And Lipa was a chassid. So he had a nice chassid, and a misnagid learning together. It was cute. I mean, they weren't learning chassidus, they were learning Torah. They were learning Torah. They were learning Nigla, let's say. They were learning Gemara, they were learning Poskim. And he's speaking with his chavrusa Lipa. And Lipa says to him, he says, Nosson, go visit a Rebbe. Go enjoy Chassidus. And Nosson says, no. Because remember, all he grew up with was against Chassidim. And Lipa says, Nosson, go. Go to Rebbe Yitzchak of Berdichev, go to Rebbe Zusha. Go to Baruch HaMeshbez, you can go travel to them, they're in Ukraine. Nosson says, no, I can't. For a year, every single day you come to say to Chavrusa, saying, go, and he's never listening. But deep inside of Nosson's, something's wrong, something's so wrong for him. And he wants to fix it. So after time goes on, he says, okay, I can't do this anymore, I'm so satisfied. He can't even focus on his learning anymore. He would get distracted by one thing, and the whole day he can't learn anymore. I'll try again tomorrow. Okay, he's going to go. And Reb Nosson goes. And he checks out. We've heard of these names. We've heard of Reb Zusha. Reb Levi Yitzchak. He travels these Chassidish Rebbes. And he's so inspired. They dive in with a fire. They feel like he looks like they're actually connecting that Hashem. Unbelievable. The humility, the greatness. He's enamored. And he begins to travel more. And his father and his father-in-law are not happy. They're getting upset. This is our progeny. This is going to be the next Gadol and Klai Yisrael. And he's going to the Chassidim. And they get more and more upset. And Reb Nosson slowly changes. And he becomes a little more of a Chassid, until he becomes sort of like a Ben Bias almost in the Beis Medrash of the Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Have you been to Berdichev? Someday soon, Amir Tashem. My favorite mikvah in Ukraine. Zohar to go, mikvah in Berdichev. Hang out there for a few hours, you know, it's... I've not been to all the mikvahs in Ukraine.
It's my favorite one.
So, he's hanging out in Berdichev, and no one's happy that he's there. But he's there. And one day, it's Motzei Shabbos. And the Chevra, they're... Okay, we need a Gan Lav Malka. So they say, okay, who's going to go get the bagels? And they pick Reb Nosson. Nosson, go get the bagels from Lav Malka. And Reb Nosson goes to the bagel place, picks up the bagels from Lav Malka. And on his way back, he's holding this bag of bagels. And he looks at himself. And he says, my bagel man? I'm a bagel guy? Like, that's what's going to be of me? You know Nosson, the bagel guy? My job in life is not to bring bagels. And he starts to cry. He's so broken about these bagels. Have you looked at a bagel like that before? The bagel and cry? And Nosson says, I'm not a bagel man. And he brings the bagels to Lav Malka and Zakol. A couple nights later, Nosson, sitting in the Beis Medrash, she's alone, pulls out a Sefer Tehillim. And he starts to cry with the Sefer Tehillim. And he's begging Hashem, he's just crying, I'm not a bagel man. And he's crying until he falls asleep. He falls asleep and he has a dream. And you can move over a little, Jacob, I can't see you. And he has a dream. And in his dream he sees a ladder. And he said the ladder stretched from heaven to earth. And he's on earth. And he's trying to climb up to heaven. And he keeps on trying to get up. Every time he gets up a few rungs, falls down to the bottom. Up another few rungs, falls to the bottom. Up and again and again and again. He's getting so broken and so sad about this. Until he tries one last time and he climbs and he's about to fall again. And he sees a face. And he sees a man, Tzaddik. And Tzaddik says to him, "Climb, but hold yourself. Hold tight." And then he wakes up. This is the end of the 1700s. Okay? Reb Nosson, he's a little bit Hasidic, he's a little bit involved in this world. But again, he doesn't feel at home. Until the year 1802. What happens in 1802? Guys, remember? You know? 1802, some Jew decided to move close to Nemirov. Moves to a place called? I'll give you a hint. Breslov was a few miles from Nemirov. And Rav Nachman in 1802 moved to Breslov. And until then, Rav Nachman was in Medvedevka, he was in Teravitz, he was hundreds of miles away from Rav Nosson, so he couldn't go. But now Rav Nachman is a few miles away, Rav Nosson had to go. And you should know at this point already, Rav Nachman, there's some opposition to him. There's a war that we didn't speak about it so much last week, but one of the Chassidish Rebbes that time was so against Rav Nachman. He was saying things about him all the time. So Rav Nachman was a bit of a colorful, maybe a... what's the word? With a C? Controversial figure. Thank you. Shh. And Rav Nosson's father-in-law and his father, they know what Rav Nosson's thinking. Don't go. They tell him, do not go to Rav Nachman. And already they're upset enough. But what can he do? You gotta go. Rav Nosson runs to Breslov. And he goes to Rav Nachman and he meets him. And from the moment they met, Rav Nachman says to him, he recognized his face. How do you recognize his face? From the dream. It was Rav Nachman that came to Rav Nosson in the dream and pulled him up. And Rav Nachman said to him, he said, "I've been waiting for you for a long time. But I'm happy we recognize each other." And that begins the story for Rav Nosson, really. Because from that moment on, Rav Nosson becomes attached to Rabbi Nachman. He becomes the scribe. He begins to write down every word Rabbi Nachman says. We have svarim upon svarim of Rabbi Nachman's just conversations and dreams that he had and things that he did because Rabbi Nachman was just following him around. Because every word Rabbi Nachman said, Rabbi Nachman thought, this is Torah. We got to go. There's a sefer over there, look at that. Chaim Oran, second shelf. That's just Rabbi Nachman following him around and writing down stories that happened to him. Right? We have other svarim, the sichos svarim. It's just Rabbi Nachman's conversations. You can buy these. They're incredible. Right? These are Torahs that we're learning just because he followed him around. And Rav Nosson begins to go to Rav Nachman, and it's only a few miles away. It's a two-hour journey by wagon. And, you know, sometimes Rav Nosson would even walk because he was so excited to go to Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman begins to pull Rav Nosson in as Rav Nosson himself becomes to say, "I have found the Rebbe I've been looking for." He attached to him. Did you ever see Avatar? Yeah. You know that thing where they fly on those crazy pterodactyls? Yeah. How do they connect? Like this, right?
By the tail.
The tail with the thing, right? That's a soul connection. That's what Rav Nachman Rav Nosson had. That connection. Which is unique in the entire Jewish history. The Talmud-Rebbe relationship like this one. Not the only one, but one of the most remarkable ones. Rav Nosson drank every single word. And Rav Nachman trained him slowly. He said, "Okay, you got to start learning 18 prakim of Mishnayos a day. In addition to everything he was learning. Okay, a little further. Now when you start learning 5 dap in both sides of Shulchan Aruch and all the commentaries every single day. It's all building. Now when you spend an hour a day speaking to Hashem in His Bodhis. And then he keeps on building it. Rav Nosson is sleeping 4 hours a night. He's coming home. Don't forget, they don't want him being by Rabbi Nachman. And he wants to be there more and more. And his wife's starting to get upset at him. And his family's getting upset at him. And he gets thrown out of his house. Because you're not working in the business. You're not being a good son-in-law. You're going to the Hasidim. People begin to hate him in his family. People in Nemra begin to make fun of him and mock him. What are you doing over there? And he's just, "No, I'm going to Rabbi Nachman. I'm going. I found my Rebbe." And there's stuff we don't even understand. The way that he seems to have neglected everything at home. He seems to have like left his wife and children behind. I'm going to Rabbi Nachman for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, without even telling anybody. It's hard to understand. But we're not going to not mention it because it happened. and Rabbi Nachman becomes the most devoted follower of Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman raised him. And there were times when Rabbi Nachman Mamish was on his own. His wife, his father-in-law, and his father wouldn't speak to him. Rabbi Nachman. Okay? 8 years. He was by Rabbi Nachman like this, drinking up, writing down everything. In those 8 years, he wrote the Kutim Moran. He wrote down the Sipurim Isaias. He wrote Kitzel the Kutim Moran. He wrote tons and tons because he had the gift of a pen. We say in Perkei Avos, Knei Lecha Chaver. What does that mean?
By a friend.
Wife is by a friend. So important to have friends. Good. B'seder. Good. It's a good word. Nah. Rabbi Nachman has a nice word also. He says, Knei Lecha Chaver. What does Knei mean? If I don't know this. Knei also means a reed. Like Kaneh. A reed was a quill. Knei Lecha Chaver, a quill, a pen, should be your friend. I yelled at Ezra last week, but only as a joke for writing notes. Someone's taking it. He's right. Write everything. Rabbi Nachman had the craziest pen. He wrote and wrote and wrote and had the gift of being able to understand what Rabbi Nachman was saying and the pen to be able to write it down beautifully. I don't think we'll have time, but I'll give it to you as a gift. I brought an example, one thing Rabbi Nachman wrote, just to see how beautiful his writing is. But I'll give it to you as a gift after. There's no time. Mesh has to go by 10:43. 1810, Reb Nachman moves to Uman, and he dies there. Right, his old death is a whole story. You can go to Uman, be in the place where he died. Why was he going to Uman? We spoke about it last week. And now what happens? You've got Breslov and Chassidim with no Rebbe. So what happens in the Chassidic world when the Rebbe dies? Who's the new one usually? Son, right? Not always. Sometimes it's like a number one Talmud. Okay, fine. So what happens here? Is there a Breslov Rebbe now?
No.
Why not?
Because we're not son.
You're all wrong. Who's the Breslov Rebbe?
Every Breslov.
Rebbe Nachman. Still, Reb Nachman towed the line, and this was not easy because half of the Breslov world was saying, be the Rebbe, be the next Rebbe, and half the Breslov world was saying, I don't know, maybe someone else. Like, he was pulled from all sides. And he's saying, no, I'm not the Rebbe. I'm the Talmud. I'm not the Rebbe. And he established himself as this strange phenomenon which didn't exist of a Talmud Rebbe. And he becomes the leader of the Breslov Chassidim without being the Rebbe. Because Reb Nachman is still the Rebbe. And this goes on for 200 years. Reb Nachman is still the Rebbe. Reb Nachman put into place for 200 years that for us, if you want to become Breslov, who's your Rebbe? Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman will help you. He'll write you a beautiful letter. It's a sefer full of letters from Reb Nachman that he wrote to everybody. He's mechazik everyone. He brings unbelievable things to learn. But he becomes this Talmud Rebbe. And in the years that follow, Reb Nachman lives for 34 years after Nachman died. Nachman died at what age?
38.
38, right? 38. Beautiful. It was very close. Reb Nachman was 30 when Reb Nachman died. He only knew Reb Nachman from the age of 22 to 30. I'm 26. You guys are almost 22. Moshe is 23. These are our ages. 8 years. What you can do in 8 years. And he viewed Reb Nachman the way that Reb Chaim Vital viewed the Arizal. He got everything in a year and a half. What you can do in a minute is unbelievable. Reb Nachman actually, he had a watch which ticked very loudly because he wanted to hear every second of his life. When his watch died, it broke one time. He stopped everything, get a new watch right away. He lived every second of his life. It was powerful, it was meaningful. And in those next 34 years, Reb Nachman turned Breslov, not interested in Reb Nachman, but he made it into a movement, into a chassidus. He built a kloiz, which is a big shul in Uman. He didn't just build it, but he arranged a pilgrimage. Everyone should go to Uman every year. Rosh Hashanah. Everyone should get together. He got arrested, he got stoned, he got beaten up. The opposition to Reb Nachman was bad. The opposition to Reb Nachman was horrible. They tried to kill him. Why? What was the issue with Reb Nachman and Breslov? I'll say it simply, but a lot of people have theories. Like, there were mamish, tons of people trying to kill these. Like, why would I kill this other Jew? Stoning them, hitting them, beating them up. So one theory I have is that Chassidus has become institutionalized in some way. That you have, like, the Baal Shem Tov, you had all of his ideas, and maybe we'll talk about him 1 week, and then all of a sudden, like, it became not as much like, you get together, you have some schnapps, and you talk about Avodas Hashem. It became more about the schnapps and the Avodas Hashem. It became more about the way it looked than the deep internal stuff. So Reb Nachman was trying to say, everyone forget about all your stuff. Be real. Listen to what the Baal Shem Tov really meant. So if you have someone saying to all the Hasidim that you guys are all fakers, it doesn't make you like him so much. So it could be that also means that Breslov, they're saying, is the most real stuff in the world. So that's my theory as to why what it was. But the Mamish tried to kill him. They beat up Reb Nosson. One time the Mamish killed somebody, but they killed the wrong guy, whose name was also Nosson. He was staying in a town, and they killed a guy named Nosson, thinking it was him. They tried to kill him. It's an amazing story that when Reb Nosson, this is all the way jumping to the end of his life, but all this Reb Nosson did was with crazy mysterious nefesh, with people telling him you're crazy, people trying to stop him, people trying to beat him up, etc. Everything he did was fire. And there's a book on him called Through Fire and Water. Because he lived through everything just try and succeed, to try and bring Reb Nachman to the world. He made a printing press, trying to bring the Sfarim, to print the Sfarim, he had to raise money to build this the building, the Klois, which, like, for us, is not a big deal. You call Eli Sharabi, you call the Chevra, and they build a building in Gross. Like, it's 5 minutes. To build a shul in those days with no money, with no support, no anything, he gave his life to do it. He gave his life to get the Jews to come to Uman, etc. Through fire and water. Close to the end of his life, he was marrying off one of his sons. And this is already 1834, Mamish, 1843. And he's going, and the custom in those days was that when you're marrying off your son, let's say the girl's from another town. So the ofruf is by the lady. Right, nowadays we have the ofruf by us, and the weddings where the bride wants. Or if you're lucky, you get both where you want. But the wedding was going to be in a place called Lipovich, or the ofruf was in a place called Lipovich. And the custom was that the whole town would gather together as the chassan and his family are coming. Everybody would come greet. And Reb Nosson is coming, and he's in his wagon with Reb Nachman Tolchiner, one of his closest student, and his son, etc. And he's coming to Lipovich, and all of a sudden, people have been planning an ambush, and a gang of people trying to get him again, with bats and with pieces of wood. They're trying to attack them, beat them up, attack the wagon. And Reb Nosson runs into the forest, and the future father-in-law runs to get the police, and they're trying to sort it out. And Reb Nosson's gone. And like 2 hours later, everything calms down. They say, okay, fine. So where did Reb Nosson go? Like, we lost Reb Nosson. So Reb Nachman says, I'll go find him. I'm sure he's in the forest. So he goes to the forest to find Reb Nosson. And he overhears Reb Nosson doing his bodhis, speaking to Hashem. And Reb Nosson says, Hashem, this is the reception that I get coming to a city, coming from my son's wedding. A water carrier gets a better reception when he comes into a city than me. What am I trying to do? I'm just trying to spread Reb Nachman's Torah. This is what I deserve for it. He's crying, Hashem, his tears shooting down his face. And then he says, but I get it. This is the Sitrach, this is the Yitzhahara trying to stop me. Because we know that in the end everyone's going to realize that this is the truth. And he begins to sing a niggun to be mechazik himself, a niggun that Reb Nachman wrote for Eish Hischayil. It's a little bit like this. And he's singing this over and again to himself and saying these words, and in the end everyone's going to realize we're right. And then Reb Nachman Tolchina finds him, and he brings him to the wedding. Obstacles, what he went through. And look, that was the year before he died. A year later, Reb Nosson dies. He's buried in Breslov. And you can go visit him. You can go visit him. You can get honey from Breslov. You can go. There's a nice Hachanas Zorachim. Go visit him. He'll be lucky. He'll be telling you, you met, you're from Yerushalayim. Tell him you heard a shir once, and you go visit him. He'll be happy to have everybody here. And that was his life, primarily. It was this crazy avoda to build Breslov from a guy, from Reb Nachman, into a movement. To make it eternal, to make it last. Which needed avoda, which needed things. Needed strategic points. Get everybody together. Get everyone doing things. Act it out. Teach the teachings. Write new Sfarim. Reb Nosson wrote a massive set of Sfarim called the Kutli Halachos, which takes all of the Halachos in the Torah and enlightens them with Reb Nachman's teachings. That's my gift. I'm going to give you a little piece from there. But what exactly was Reb Nosson? Like I told you the nice story, and you know what? Last week when I gave shir, when we learned together, someone said to me afterwards, he said, look, it's great and all, but like a little too much history. Like, who cares about the dates? And who cares about like these steps of his life? But I said, like, no, like that is Torah. Lives of tzaddikim are Torah. What do you learn about in this week's parsha? Lives of tzaddikim. Bereishis Nava. Lives of tzaddikim. You learn from the lives of tzaddikim. That's Torah. These dates, these acts, this resilience, this base, that's the Torah. So now, what exactly was the Chiddush of Reb Nosson? I'll say it simple. Reb Nosson took Rabbi Nachman, he took the Torah, took the Kutta Moran, and he showed us what it's like. Reb Nachman could have given 1,000 shiurim and nothing would have happened. He would have been one cracked out man dancing on a hilltop, and he was a cracked out man. He sometimes danced on hilltops like that. Reb Nachman would sometimes just run into the street and be crazy just to humiliate himself, to give more humility. Like, it's called going prustic. You would go into the street and just act like a nut job. I dare you to try it. I dare you to try it. I mean, some kind of a dude here anyways, but you know. Reb Nosson made Breslov a movement. He brought it to the world. Nachman, if you tell me, you know how many people go to Uman or Hashan these days? Well, not this past year. A year ago. 80,000. 80,000. You know how many Breslov Chassidim went to Uman in those days? Yes. Maximum 50. 100, 150. Which means maximum 150. Yeah. But now, he laid the groundwork to bring Breslov to everybody, to bring Reb Nachman to everybody. And he showed us what it's like. Reb Nachman, I'll give you an example. Reb Nachman said, okay, Minias. Obstacles happen in life. They show you doing is right. If there's obstacles, people trying to stop you, that means doing the right thing. Reb Nosson went through the biggest obstacles in the world. Reb Nachman said, Echad Ali Avram, you got to be committed in Hashem. You got to be alone. You can't focus on anybody else. You got to focus on yourself. Reb Nosson did that. He didn't listen to anybody else. He knew what he had to do. He was right. He had to do it. Reb Nachman said, speak to Hashem every single day for an hour. Reb Nosson did it. And he wrote down his speeches. He wrote down his tefillos to Hashem. Right? Reb Nosson's words to Hashem are the biggest tires for us. How do you speak to Hashem? Reb Nosson will show you. How do you speak to Hashem for an hour? Get on Reb Nosson's back. He'll show you how to do it. Reb Nachman said, turn the Torahs that I've taught you and make them into tefillah. Reb Nosson writes a sefer called the Kutei Tefillos, which every Torah in the Kutei Moran, or almost all of them, is turned into a tefillah, how to daven that Hashem should make whatever he's learning real in his life. Reb Nosson showed what it's like to be a breastlover. He was the first breastlover. And he showed the world, this is what it looks like. This is the faith. This is the Yishuv Adas. This is the Simcha. This is the joy. This is life when you're listening to Rabbi Nachman. And that's why he wasn't the same thing as Rabbi Nachman at all. Rabbi Nachman couldn't have been Reb Nosson. You needed Reb Nosson to be Reb Nosson. And finally, and this is the last point we'll make, is that Reb Nosson taught Reb Nachman taught Reb Nosson how to have a lev nishbar, how to have a broken heart. Reb Nachman said, Reb Nosson, you have to have a broken heart when you speak to Hashem. And Reb Nosson said, okay, he took his heart and shattered it to 1,000 pieces. What does it mean to have a broken heart? It means, look at everyone in this room. Are we close to Hashem? Yes. We're close to Hashem. Reb Nachman came. Yish l'chol yudi, makom, etzlo yizbarach. Every Jew has a place next to Hashem. L'kut moran tinyana. Peace one. Torah aleph. Tikkun mimshala. Every Jew has a place by Hashem. That's a chiddush that maybe not everybody's saying. That you have a place no matter how much you sin, no matter how dirty you are, no matter how low you are. You have a place by Hashem. But also, what does Reb Nachman say? Kut moran yudeis. You got to tell every Jew that they're also so far from Hashem. We're close to him, but we're so far. We're so far. So, what? Okay, we're young. No, we're going to be old soon. Not that soon, but we're going to be far when we're old also. We're always going to be far. We're always going to be close. We're always going to be far. And the second we feel getting closer to Hashem, he's going to pull back even more. And we're going to feel getting closer, he's going to pull back even more. And we're just going to be yearning to get closer and never make it. So why do we try? That itself is significant. That yearning. That brokenheartedness. That bikush, that desire to be close to Hashem, that itself, you're never going to make it. You're never going to reach Hashem, but you're going to get close. And every time you get close, you're going to be besimcha, and then get brokenhearted again because I touched it for a minute, I tasted this Hungarian wine for a second, and then it's gone. And then and you're broken, you fall apart. I'll tell you my side. I didn't think I was going to share this, but I'm going to share it now. I was in YU, I was in a shower. Communal showers, very nice. Baruch Hashem, the shower curtains. I'm in the shower with my roommate. We always go to shower together. It's very fun. We're very close, me and my roommate. Not that close, but very close. Different showers. So I'm in the shower then one day, and you know you can't talk Torah in the shower. If you need to speak to Hashem in the shower, I pass, and I think you still can. But I feel like I'm not going to say you still can. That's why I'm But, right, I feel anywhere you are, Hashem is there, right? Okay, so I say to my friend, I say, Avi, so a close friend of mine, he said, for Shlema, he's got Corona, okay, for Shlema. And I say to him, I said, Avi, if you had a choice, and you could marry one of two women, which one would you choose? Lady number one, on the scale of everything you care about, she's a 7. Pretty good meetups, pretty good this, you like the way she looks, pretty good this, good mother's a... She's a 7. And she's going to be consistent and with you every single day. You'll never have a moment without her. She'll be there for you always. Or, lady number 2. 15 out of 10. Everything you could dream of and more. This woman is the... You can't even dream about this woman. Perfect. You're going to be so in love with her when you're with her. Obsessed. Mom, she's going to be on fire. But you're barely going to see her. Which woman would you marry? It's a good shower, no? It's a good shower, Shiloh.
What are you thinking about this in the shower?
What are you thinking about the shower? So he said that I couldn't marry the second one. And I said to myself, I don't think I could marry the first. If I knew the second one existed, I couldn't marry the first. This is what Ibnasin's whole life was. He was trying to be married to the first wife. He tried again. He tried another first, etc., etc., etc. This was us. This is the Leiv Nishbar. Why are we so brokenhearted? Why did breast lovers sigh all the time? Because they're married to the second wife. Because they've tasted the Hungarian wine. They've tasted the unbelievable existence of closeness to Hashem, which you cannot describe in words, which Rav Nachman tried to describe in story after story after this, after that. But you can't describe it, you can only feel it. And once you've had it, you can't have anything else but it, but you can't always have it, and you're always trying to get back to it, and that's where you're always sad and brokenhearted. But brokenhearted doesn't mean you're sad, it doesn't mean you're depressed, it just means you're brokenhearted, because you know you have something beautiful. And that's why, and we don't have time to read this, but there was a Jew who would walk around Berdichev. It was Hillel Zeitlin. He was killed in the Holocaust. Hashem Kom Domo. He describes when he'd go by the Karlin and Hasidim what it was like there. How joyful it was. And despite the terrible life in Ukraine, and when you wake up in Berdichev, I promise you, you chop how terrible life is in Ukraine. It's just gray and like there's chickens. Like that's all. Like it's terrible. But Hasidus and Karlin, you could be besimcha anyways. Then you would go to another shul, the Leibetik shul, and it was on fire. Once simcha, even though Shabbos is ending, give up. And then you'd walk past the breast of Shtibu in Berdichev, and all you'd hear is people sighing. Room full of wrestlers just sighing and sighing. And then the Shabbos would end, they'd start to dance. Sighing and dancing. If you don't chab, some people can't get this, some people can't understand this. But this is part to see. That's what it means. So I want the last thing I'm gonna say, I want everyone to just feel for a moment what that closeness could be, or if you've ever felt that closeness, tap into it for a second and allow yourself to be brokenhearted for a minute. That we don't have it. That we're so far from where we want to be. And sigh. Let's take a deep inhale first and then really sigh. Mm.